The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is about a very special day that takes place this month. This month is July, and you remember what day it is that we always celebrate with picnics and sometimes with parades and with music and barbecues and, best of all, fireworks. You're right. It is the 4th of July, the special day in the month of July that we're all looking forward to. So our first story today is called The 4th of July Picnic. And this is about the story of Duck and Frog, two friends. Croaker's Creek was home to a lot of critters. In this lush and beautiful community, there were turtles, swans, and dragonflies. This is a story about Duck and Frog. Duck and Frog had been best friends since they were really small. They did everything together. You never found one without the other. And there they are in the park when they were little, playing with their blocks and their teddy bear and their little cars and boats and balls. And what else do they have? Anyways, they're having fun together in the outside, enjoying the beautiful weather out under a nice big shady tree. It was the day before the 4th of July picnic, and Duck and Frog were playing in Duck's room. Duck, Frog said, I want to do something nice for our neighbor, Mr. Turtolini. I don't think it's right for him to be all alone on this holiday. Frog continued, do you have any idea of what we could do? I'm not sure, said Duck. Perhaps we could save him a plate of treats from tomorrow's picnic. They were two were so engrossed in their planning that they didn't see Duck's mom in the doorway. Good idea, said Duck. But what if we just invited him to the picnic instead? Would your mom and dad be okay with that? Frog asked. And just then, Duck's mom entered the room. I think that's a brilliant idea. We have more food than we could possibly eat, she said. I just love how both of you look out for other people. Duck's mom hugged them close. I hope you two never change. So off they went to Mr. Turtolini's house and invited him to their picnic. But Miss Duck and Frog soon discovered that Mr. Turtolini wasn't home. Just as they were about to leave, they saw Herman the Snail. Hello, Mr. Herman, said Frog. Do you know where Mr. Turtolini is? We don't want him to be alone for the holiday, so we want to invite him to the picnic tomorrow, Duck added. Well, I saw him walking down the road not too long ago, replied Mr. Herman. Thank you, Frog said. Just then, Duck had an idea. Mr. Herman, would you and Mrs. Herman like to come to our 4th of July picnic tomorrow as well? Asked Duck. Why, we would love to, Mr. Herman replied. Great, shouted Duck and Frog. We will see you both at noon. And then off they went down the road in search of Mr. Turtolini. Next they saw Sharon Heron. Hello, Mrs. Sharon. Have you seen Mr. Turtolini? Asked Frog. We're trying to find him so that we can invite him to our 4th of July picnic tomorrow, said Duck. Well, I saw him not too long ago, said Mrs. Sharon, right up that hill. Duck, whispered Frog. Perhaps you could invite Mrs. Sharon to the picnic, too. She and her son could use some company. What do you think? Frog, I think you're right, said Duck. Mrs. Sharon, could you come to the, and your son, like to come to our picnic as well? Well, how very kind of you, said Mrs. Sharon. Baron and I will be there. Great, replied Duck and Frog. We'll see you at noon. Now remember, a heron is a very tall, white bird that stands in the water and likes to fish. That's what they eat. They catch fish with their big beaks. And so it went. Duck and Frog invited everyone they saw to the picnic until they found Mr. Turtellini at last, sitting on a stump overlooking the pond. There he is, just looking at the pond. "Hello," said Mr. Turtellini. "I heard you two were looking for me, and I would just love to come to your 4th of July picnic. It is very kind of you to invite me. Thank you." "Great," said Duck and Frog. "We'll see you at noon." And with that, they hurried home to share their news with their parents. Next morning, Duck and Frog woke early to help their parents peel potatoes, mince onions, squeeze lemons, roast nuts, and chop carrots. Together, they made sandwiches for the picnic. By the time they finished and had changed their clothes, all the critters from the community had gathered round in the park. There's everyone, all Duck and Frog's friends that they invited, and there's a little pig and his friend the lamb and his friend a black duck and the herons and more ducks and more pigs and, oh, all sorts of animals. Oops, there's a woodchuck and another turtle and a, oh, goodness me, Mrs. Frog. Oh, all sorts of things. Anyways, they're ready to go. Everyone's ready and ready for a delicious picnic. They each brought a little something for Duck and Frog. Everyone ate and told stories and ducks. So they had a... Whoops, whoops, whoops. Everyone ate and told jokes and stories. Not stories and ducks. Sorry, I made a mistake. And there is this huge, wonderful picnic with all sorts of food that Duck and Frog and all their friends brought a little something for the picnic. So it was a really wonderful picnic. And in the evening, as they watched the fireworks, they all thanked Duck and Frog for being so kind. And there they were on their blankets, looking up into the deep blue night sky with all sorts of beautiful fireworks bursting in the air, all colors, pink and gold and blue and white and silver and yellow and all sorts of beautiful twists and turns and rockets and things all in the night sky. And it was Happy Birthday, America! And that is the end of our 4th of July story. The next story today that we shall read is called What Pet Should I Get? By Dr. Seuss. I'm sure we've all heard Dr. Seuss's books, haven't we? So, what pet should we get? We want a pet. We want a pet. What kind of pet should we get? Dad said we could have one. Dad said he would pay. I went to the pet shop. I went there with Kay. And so we went in. I took one fast look. I saw a fine dog who shook hands. So we shook. So I said, I want him. But then Kay saw a cat. She gave it a pat. And she said, I want that. Then Kay said, now what do you think we should do? Dad said to pick one. We cannot take home two. Then what do we do? We saw two other kinds. Now, how could Kay and I make up our mind? A pup and a kitten. They both looked like fun. Now, which would we pick? We could only pick one. Oh, dear. Make up your mind, it says, as four animals, strange animals, are at the top of the page. The cat or the dog, the kitten, the pup. Oh, boy, it is something to make a mind up. Then I looked all around. I saw something with wings. I said, look at him. We can pick one that sings. But then, look over there, said my sister Kay. We can go home with a rabbit today. I then looked at Kay. I said, what will we do? I like all the pets that I see. So do you. We have to pick one. We have to pick one pet and pick it out soon. You know, Mother told us to be back by noon. I could have done it. I could have, I bet. I could have said what pet we should get. But then, you know what Kay did. You know what she did. She said, fish, 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 fish. It may be a fish is the pet that we wish. And then I saw a new kind. Which one? How could I pick one? Now, what should we do? We could only pick one. That is what Dad said. But how could I make up my mind in my head? He's looking at all sorts of monkeys dancing all around. Now, who would want a monkey dancing all around their house? Well, maybe some people. Pick a pet fast. Pick one out soon. Mother and Dad said to be home by noon. Hard decision, isn't it, guys? The time may be now to make up my mind. But who knows what other good pets I might find. I might find a new one, a fast kind of thing, who would fly round my head in a ring on a string. Yes, that would be fun, but our house is so small. A thing on a string would go bump, bump, bump into the wall. My mother, I know, would not like that at all. So, maybe some other kind, good kind of pet. Another kind, maybe, is what we should get. We might find a new kind, a pet who is tall, a tall pet who fits in a space that is small. My mother might like that kind best of all. If we had a big tent, then we would be able to take home a yent. Dad would like us to have a good yent. But how do I know that he would pay for a tent? So you see how it is when you pick out a pet. How can you make up your mind what to get? But what if we took one of each kind of pet? Then our house would be full of pets we would get. No. Dad would be mad. We can only have one. If we do not choose, we will end up with none. Oh, there's even turtles there to look at now. And some parrots, and an owl, and a monkey in a cage, and all sorts of other things, some very strange things. I will do it right now. I will do it, I said. I will make up the mind that is up in my head. The dog or the rabbit, the fish or the cat. I picked one out fast, and then that was that. And there shall go the brother and Kay, the little sister, walking home, and the little boy has a basket on his head, and all we know are that two eyes are peeking out of the basket. So what kind of pet did they get? Well, that is just a mystery. We are never really going to be sure, are we? And that's the end of What Pet Should I Get? By Dr. Seuss. Well, our next story is called Goldilocks and the Three Crocodiles. Now, I'm sure you all remember that story about Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Well, this is not that one. This is Goldilocks and the Three Crocodiles. It is by Michael Rosen. So here we go. Did you know that Goldilocks had a dog? Her dog loved talking. Did you know that his name was Tittles? And Tittles loved walking. Tittles said to Goldilocks one bright morning, "It's a nice summer's day. We could see if we find that house. Do you know the way?" "That house," said Goldilocks. "What do you mean?" "The house with the chairs. There were porridge and beds. You went in. There were three bears." I bet she remembers that. So Goldilocks and Tittles went walking through a deep, dark wood. Goldilocks chatted to Tittles, and Tittles chatted to Goldilocks. Hmm, thought Goldilocks, where is that house? The one with the chairs, the porridge, the beds, and the three bears. Where could it be? Far off, Goldilocks and Tittles could hear something. What was it? It was the sound of the sea coming in on the wind. Tittles could smell the sea. Hmm, he says, I love the smell of the sea. Oof, oof. Did you hear that? Goldilocks said. Yes, says Tittles. The sea is singing. Sea is singing to us. Come on, let's go. And after that, Tittles set off, running and jumping. Pershoo, pershee, pershoo, pershee. I am the sea. The sea is me. The sea is me. I am the sea. Pershoo, pershee. Pershoo, pershee. I am the sea. The sea is me. The sea is me. I am the sea. And galloping towards the sea with Goldilocks running after him. Soon they got to a beach. A long, 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 long beach. And they could hear the song even louder. Pershoo, pershee. Pershoo, pershee. I am the sea. The sea of me. The sea is me. I am the sea. It's the song of the sea, said Tittles. Up ahead was a cave. A big, wide cave mouth. Come on, let's go in, said Tittles. And they ran towards the cave. Slowly, 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 they crept inside. Slowly, slowly, slowly. And then they saw it. Whoops, lost my page here, guys. A table. And next to the table were three chairs. Not ordinary chairs. The chairs were fish. Fish chairs. Goldilocks hopped up and sat on one. Tittles hopped up to be on her lap, and then, yuck, much too slimy and slippery. So Goldilocks sat on the next chair. Tittles hopped up and sat on her lap, and, yeah, it was still too slimy and slippery. So Goldilocks sat on the next little one. Tittles hopped up and sat on her lap, and, ah, it was just right. On the table were three bowls, and in the bowls were seaweed. Goldilocks tried the first bowl of seaweed, and so did Tittles, and it was, phew, much too smelly. Goldilocks tried the next bowl, and so did Tittles, and it was, phew, still too smelly. Goldilocks tried the next one, and so did Tittles, and it was just right. And they ate up all the seaweed. Crunch, munch, crunch, munch. Now, Goldilocks was getting tired, and so she looked around for somewhere to lie down and have a sleep. And there were three huge shells. She got into one of them. Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And all she could hear was the big, 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 big sound of the sea. Pershoo, pershee, pershoo, pershee. Too loud. So she got out of that seashell bed and went to the next one. And she could hear the sea, but it was not such a quite big so sound of the sea. Pershoo, pershee, pershoo, pershee. But it still wasn't right. So Goldilocks got into the next shell, the little one, and it was, just right. Pershoo, pershee, pershoo, pershee. I am the sea. The sea is me. The sea is me. I am the sea. And it felt like she was going to sleep on the waves. And Tittles felt like he was going to sleep too. Lovely. And off they went to sleep. All of a sudden, they heard a huge noise. They saw someone say, they heard someone say in a great big voice, "Who's been sitting on my fish?" And they heard someone else say in not quite so big a voice, "Who's been sitting on my fish?" And they heard a tiny voice say, "Who's been sitting on my fish? And it's all squashed." Then they heard someone say in a great big voice, "Who's been eating my seaweed?" And someone else in a voice that wasn't quite so big, "Who's been eating my seaweed?" And they heard a tiny little voice say, "Who's been eating my seaweed? And it's all gone." And then they heard someone say in a great big voice, "Who's been sleeping in my shell?" And they heard someone say in not quite so big a voice, "Who's been sleeping in my shell?" And then they heard a tiny little voice say, "Someone's been sleeping in my shell, and they're still here." Goldilocks and Tittles looked up, and they saw a baby crocodile. And behind the baby crocodile was a bigger crocodile. And behind that crocodile was a huge, enormous, gigantic crocodile. And they were all looking very, very mean and angry. And they were all going snap, snap, snap with their teeth. So Goldilocks and Tittles dashed out of the cave as fast as they could go along the long, 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 long beach through the deep, dark woods and back home safely. Later, when Goldilocks got into bed and Tittles climbed up on the bed too, a sound came through the window, a song that sounded like this. "Pershoo, pershee, pershoo, pershee, I am the sea, the sea is me, the sea is me, I am the sea." And that is the end of Goldilocks and the Three Crocodiles. Amen. What a good book. That's a funny book. It's a twist on Goldilocks and Three Bears, isn't it? Our last story today is The Berenstain Bears Go Green by Stan Jan Berenstain with their son Mike Berenstain. Bear County was a beautiful place to live. It had green rolling hills and wide river valleys. It had cool, shady woods and bright, sunny fields. There were steep cliffs and deep canyons, roaring rapids and rushing waterfalls. Lots of creatures lived in Bear County. Beside the bears, there were deer and ducks, woodchucks and weasels. There were rabbits and raccoons, possums and porcupines. There were badgers, bats, butterflies, bugs, and much, much more. The family packed up their fishing. Whoops. The bear family loved living it there. They always tried their best to keep it beautiful. Most of the other creatures who lived there tried their best, too. But no matter how hard you try, sometimes you run into problems. And that's just what happened. One fine morning, the bear family decided to go fishing. "Let's go down to the creek where Grizzly Gramps keeps his boat," said Papa. "We can pack a lunch and have a picnic as we fish." "Terrific," they all agreed. The family packed up their fishing gear and their lunch and went down to the creek where they loaded into Grizzly Gramps' boat. Papa went, got the oars out, and rowed everyone lazily along, their fishing lines out while they ate a picnic lunch. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and all seemed right in Bear Country. Until... "Pee-you," said Sister. "What's that awful smell?" The rest of the family sat up and sniffed. "Yuck," they all cried. "What is that?" They noticed something funny floating in the water. It was a streak of dark, gunky-looking stuff. It seemed to be coming from around a bend in the creek. "Oh," said Papa, "I know what's around that bend." Soon they could all see it, the Bear Country Dump. "Wow," said Brother, "what a mess." It was indeed a mess. There were wrecked cars, old mattresses, busted TV sets, broken washing machines, and piles of trash and garbage. But the worst mess was the bunch of leaky old oil drums that someone had dumped right on the edge of the creek. Gooey, smelly, black oil was leaching into the water. "This is a disgrace," said Mama. She hated to see her beloved Bear Country treated this way. Mama had even been the mayor of Bear Country for a while. "This place has got to be cleaned up," she said. "We will go to the town meeting and complain." "Yes," said Brother. "Go, Mama," said Sister. "Go, go," said Honey. The next town meeting, the bear family and many other bears filled the town hall. Mayor Honeypot was on the stage. He rapped on the desk with a gavel. "Ahem," he said. "The meeting is called to order. Is there any new business?" Mama stood up to speak, but another bear jumped up before her. "Mr. Mayor," he said, "I am Mr. Greenwood, and I have come to complain about the disgraceful state of the Bear Country dump. And Mama sat down to listen. "Oil is leaking from the dump into the creek," said Mr. Greenwood. "What are you going to do about it, Mr. Mayor?" Mayor Honeypot was surprised. "I did not know about that," he said. "We will have to have a cleanup of the dump right away. Will any of you be there to volunteer to help?" Everyone at the meeting raised their hands, especially Mama, Papa, and the club cubs. A few days later, it seemed like most of Bear Country was down at the dump. Everyone pitched in to clean up the trash and junk. Most of it would be mixed with earth so the trees could grow on it. They hauled away the oil drums and put them in a safer spot much farther from the creek. And you know what? We have run out of time for today's episode, so we're not going to be able to find out any more from this story. I can't read you anymore, except to let you know that the whole town cleaned up that dump and decided that the family decided they could do even better. They would recycle and they would compost and they would carpool with other families going to school or shopping so they wouldn't waste gas. And compost means to save your kitchen scraps and make a big pile with your chopped up leaves and let them sit there. And after a while, it'll turn into good fertilizer, good soil to use on your garden. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Story Children's of Read to Succeed. I'm so sorry we didn't have time for that story to finish. So be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.